right, Hebrews chapter 11 in your Bible. Y'all are doing a great job and listening today. And I am from New Jersey, hallelujah, the promised land. And I'm 54 years old. I'm an old head. And I was saved when I was 8 years old. My dad got saved as a 30-year-old. My mom was 28 when she got saved. And so we just got involved in the local church, and God allowed my dad to start a church 41 years ago, Solid Rock Baptist Church, and I've been working with my dad full-time for 33 years, and so we're just glad for the opportunity. Now, y'all have done a great job listening today, and you're getting a lot of preaching, a lot of good fun games, and I hope the music is a blessing to you. I can't believe how far the groups have come to be here. That was amazing. I thought we had come a long way at 2.5 hours, whatever it was, 2:20, and everybody was right there in that same group, and I appreciate it. The locals here, when they got out of bed at 10 till 10, we're glad you made it too, and got here, and so that's good. But man, I'm amazed. Now listen, I got the hard job because you're ready to eat. I don't know which is more difficult, right before you want to eat or after you've just eaten and then you're the last preacher. I'm not sure. So either way, I know this, you're thinking about food. Hallelujah, right? And come on now, don't lie. Don't look. Oh, no, Brother Clark, I don't think about food. You're lying. And I know how it is. My daughter, Vanessa, she's the one up there on the piano. I have three girls, and Melinda, the one who just sang, Vanessa's back there, all right? Yeah, come on, hiding back there in the back, right? Vanessa, out of my three girls, she was the eater. She would eat everything she saw. And she got the alto voice. She came out of the womb like, hi, Dad. It was like that low. And and what she would say is, I'm hungry. And she likes steak. How many of you girls like steak, right? Vanessa, you and her would be kindred spirits. Like three times a day, she could eat a breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and that's no lie. And nothing has changed. So she was the eater in the family. I know you're hungry, but I want you to stay in tune with us right now. And I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 in the Word of God. I'm going to preach 30 minutes. Can you all hang with me for 30 minutes? 30 minutes in the Word of God, and we want to learn something that would be a blessing, something that would be a help, and I want to make sure that you get it. Now, you got to make sure the person next to you is awake, okay? All right, so give them a pinch them right now, all right? If you can, give them a pinch or a punch, whichever you prefer. Do you pinch or do you punch? That would be the next question for the game we had this morning, right? Pinch or punch? And guys should punch, but some girls like to punch more than they would pinch. You girls pull hair. Girls fight nasty. They are not, I mean, you know, can grab, you get that long hair and they grip up on each other. But anyway, we're glad to be here in the Word of God, and I want to get something from the Word of God that would be a blessing and a help. So let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, I pray you'd help Brother Shetler as he's teaching. I pray you fill him with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I pray for my brother as he'll jump into his lesson right now. I pray you'd fill him with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, or maybe my brother now, and I pray, God, that you would help and give grace here in this moment. I pray that you give all of us exactly what it is that we need. And I pray you speak to my heart, speak to all of our hearts. And Lord, I pray that it would be a great blessing. We pray in Christ's precious and holy and wonderful name. Amen. You doing all right? I'm pondering. I'm trying to decide for sure if this is a message I'm supposed to preach, y'all. So I'm just delaying here for just a moment and trying to figure out which way we're going to go on that. And I'm trying to. These are nice chucks right here. These are fancy. You got big feet too. But anyway, I want to make sure that we do the right thing here. So I think I'm going to switch. And I'm trying to be sensitive to the Lord. It's something I want to preach, but I'm not sure it's what the Lord wants. So go to Psalm 81. We'll switch gears. Y'all ready? You okay with that? I had another outline here, and it's one I just gave to the singles, and I didn't plan to give it to you all, but I'm going to. All right, Psalm chapter 81. Let's switch gears. And that was a great message, didn't you think so? The Word of God was deep there. I'm only kidding. We didn't get anywhere. Psalm 81 in your Bible, and go ahead and look. I like the Psalms. I hope that you do. And Psalm chapter 81 is, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, given to us through Asaph. Now, Asaph, how many of your Bible says a Psalm of Asaph? Does it say that right under where it says Psalm 81? How many of you says that? Okay, good. So Asaph was a musician. Asaph was a friend of David's. Asaph would have been able to sing and for sure play instruments. We know that about him. And music's a very powerful thing. So in Psalm 81, by inspiration, again, of Holy Spirit given to us, Asaph here, look what he says, sing aloud unto God our strength. Sing aloud unto God our strength. I like when young people sing out. Singing is very powerful. So I like to praise the Lord. I like to worship the Lord. How many of you like to praise and worship the Lord? I do, absolutely. Psalm 138:1, David said, I will praise. Psalm 138:2, David said, I will worship. And Asaph was somebody very much involved with praising God. Now, when we praise God, we praise Him and thank Him for what He's done. When we worship God, we worship Him for who He is. And so it's both important that we just praise and testify and thank God, and we worship God for who He is, because our God is awesome. There's no one like Him. And so Asaph here says, sing aloud unto God our strength. Then notice this, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Who can remember another place in the Psalms where God said, make a joyful noise? What you got? Go ahead, call it out, either one of you. Psalm 100, very good. Psalm 100, make a joyful what? Noise. If those of you raised in church know this, make a joyful noise unto the Lord who? All ye lands, serve the Lord with what? Gladness, right? So you might mark, for those of you that like to, I want to encourage you to always, it's good that you take notes and books and things, but when you get good cross references, make note of those, right? So here we're in Psalm 81, and you can tie that in with Psalm 100 and verse 1. Make a joyful noise, and that's something God wants us to do. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Now, the Israel, the Jewish people, they would have recognized the patriarchs. That's their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I'm getting ready to go, God willing, to Israel in about 8 days. I'm leading a group of 55 people over there, and you go there, it's the Jewish people. So I know we're not Jewish, but the Bible is predominantly a Jewish book, and it's what we're learning today. And here's what God's people, the Jewish people, were told, that they were to make a joyful noise. And we can make the application, most definitely, we should too. So Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, be filled with the Spirit. Everybody help me, be filled with the what? Spirit. That's verse 18 in Ephesians 5. Verse 19 says that we would be singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So music's very powerful and important to young people, no doubt about it. And so here we have Asaph, who's a musician, and he starts coming out of the gate talking about, hey, I want you to be making a joyful noise. God wants you to make a joyful noise unto Him. And in verse 1, unto the God of Jacob. Go to verse 2. Notice, take a psalm. Take a psalm. And a psalm is something that we can sing. We're in the book of Psalms, and God gave David many psalms, gave Asaph many psalms, and we sing those. Remember how we just mentioned Ephesians 5:19? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Watch this, young people. Your music ought to be able to fit in those categories. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. And that's what we sing. And we sing to glorify God, to praise God, to worship God. Pick up two again. Notice, take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel. Bring hither the timbrel. Now, a timbrel, it'd be similar to what we call a tambourine, more handheld. If you look up there, there's a timpani, right? And it's the round hoop there, and it's got the cover over it. And the timpani is an instrument that can be tuned, needs to be tuned sometimes. And it plays a note specifically in music. So we're not talking about somebody in a glass cage with a wild-eyed drum set and just and turn church into a rock band. We're not talking about that. But we're talking about a biblical timbrel, and it's an instrument they had. Notice here, verse 2 again. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel and pleasant harp with the psaltery. Pleasant harp with the psaltery. And so here we've got Asaph saying, listen, we're going to sing and we're going to play and we're going to worship God. Verse 3, together out loud, first four words. Ready? Blow up the trumpet. I don't even know exactly blow up, but it means blow it and blow it loud. Any trumpet players? Good. All right, couple of trumpet players. I wish you brought your trumpet. Blow up the trumpet. These guys would know for sure. And you can't ignore a trumpet, right? The Bible talks about preachers ought to be lifting up their voice like a trumpet. Trumpets can't be ignored. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, on our solemn feast day. Verse 4, for this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. So this was something where there was an appointed time. It may have been the Feast of the Trumpets on the first day of Tishri, which is the first month of the Jewish civil calendar. Could have been at Passover, but there was a certain time when they were going to play the trumpet and get loud about it. And it would have been playing all these other instruments. By the way, I like here, I've never been to the church service here, but I saw the instruments. I love to be here on a Sunday. Why? We're playing instruments, we're singing to God, and what's that? That's in the assembly at an appointed time. So young people, kind of like when we have church, it'd be similar to what they were doing here, and it was important to God. God enjoyed it. God loved it. It's what God wanted. Now, why all would they do that? Well, because God had been really good to this people. And traditionally, God had been really good to the Jewish people. Stay with me. Don't let your brain go off to La La Land. Verse 5. Come back. Ready? Here we go. This he ordained in Joseph. Okay, so this is something that had been going on for a long time. And it was important. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. And so here, God is figuratively speaking, I heard a language that I understood not. And the land of the Egyptians and all of what they would have learned there, God said, I don't speak that language. You say, why? Because Egypt's the type of the world. And he said, I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pot. So here's what happened. God delivered them from the slavery. God delivered them from the oppression. God had delivered the Jewish people. Now notice verse 7. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. Now when we call out to God, what do we call that? We call that prayer. All right, everybody help me. When we call out to God, we call that prayer. So here God said, look, they prayed, and here's what he said. I answered thee. In the secret place of thunder, I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah, which would have been Mount Horeb. And they called out in Exodus 17, and God ultimately brought water out of the rock. So God delivered his people out of Egypt with all the slavery, and God had been amazingly good to them, and God had heard their cries, and God had just been really, really good to the Jewish people. How many of you today could say, God's been good to me? Could you say that? God is good. Melinda just sang that. God is good. And we could go on and on and on with all the different ways God has blessed us. And he's saying, listen, there ought to be songs, there ought to be praise, there ought to be all this blessing here because I've been so good to you. It's just quite amazing. Now, here's what happened. He said, I heard you and I listened. Verse 8, please follow. You're doing great. Tell the person next to you right now, say, you're doing great. All right, come on, stay with me. Stay with me. I got 20 minutes. Ready? Here we go. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. So God has a requirement here. He said, I want you to hearken. Everybody help me if you know it. To hearken means to listen. Good. Everybody that didn't know that, now you do. Ready? Hearken means to listen. In the back, y'all help me. Come on. Hearken means to listen. Yeah, I know. Y'all going to sleep on that back row. Let's go, ladies. Hearken means to listen. All right. So here God says, if thou wilt hearken. Okay. So it's what God had told the Jews who had left Egypt. It's what God had told the psalmist to tell the children of Israel. I want you to listen. I want you to hearken. Were you the earwax guy?
Yes.
That was gross. If thou wilt hearken, right? If thou wilt hearken, if you will, it was grosser that you took it out of his hand. That's really sickening. I've seen some really sickening things in youth meetings, but that's top five. If thou wilt hearken, if thou wilt listen. So here's a requirement. God wanted them to listen. Talk to me. God's requirement is that they would listen. And that Bible word is what? Hearken. Okay? So here we have the word hearken. Hark the herald angels sing. Right? We're to listen. And they would have listened that night. So, back at 8, we're hearkening. What did God want them to hearken to? What did he want them to listen to? Verse 9. There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. God says, hey, listen, I'm a jealous God. And Ten Commandments clearly taught them, no other gods before me. No spiritual adultery. I want you to be true to God. Now, in Egypt, there were false gods. Watch this. In the world, there are false gods. And they want you to follow those false gods. Halloween's coming up. Everywhere you turn, there's a lot of stuff that ties in with Satanism. Well, I just want the candy. No, listen. There's a lot of stuff that's tying in with Satan. You say, why? Because Satan is real. Absolutely, Satan is real. And people today are following after him, and they're not even hiding it. They are going after it in worship of the devil. and worship of false gods. I went to Thailand on a missions trip. Driving down the highway, look up there on the mountainside, this giant Buddha, because they're Buddhists. You know what Buddha is, right? Little fat belly thing at the Chinese restaurant. And that's what they pray to. They pray to Buddha. Hinduism, they believe in thousands of gods, polytheism, right? And they believe in thousands of gods, and they believe in reincarnation. So in India, people a lot of typically times are skinny, and you wonder, man, some of these people are starving, and there's cows walking around everywhere. Why? Because they believe their grandfather can come back in the cow so they won't kill the cow and eat it. Now, if I see a cow, give me a burger. Yeah, come on, right? What are we eating for lunch, sir? Fried chicken. Woo-woo. All right, that sounds good. Mac and cheese? Is that what you said? For real? Are you making that up? Fried chicken, mac and cheese. Man, most youth, this is big time youth rally, man. Normally they give you a cold burger with no cheese on it. We're having mac and cheese and chicken. All right, I'll get you motivated. Anyway, God says, no other God. Okay, so they're hearing that. Go to 10, follow me now. Verse 9 says, no strange gods. 10, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. So he's saying, listen, no false gods. I'm your God. I'm your God. So here's what he tells him. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. If you open up your mouth wide, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to bless you. 11, notice, but my people would not hearken to my voice. Now talk to me, church. In verse 8, God asked them to what? What was the last statement in verse 8? God asked them to hearken. Now drop down to 11 one more time and notice what it says here. But my people would not hearken to my voice. God asked them to do one thing. I want you to listen to me and obey what it is that I say. And instead, they would not hearken. In fact, look how far they took it in verse 11. And Israel would none of me. You know what that means? They didn't even want God. Now, amazingly, God had brought them out of Egypt. And they didn't even want him. They would none of me. They would none of me. Hey, I was available. I'm the Lord your God. I'm the one that brought you out of Egypt. And watch, they didn't even want God. They didn't want to listen to God. How tragic, how sad. The spiritual adultery they didn't want him to want, he didn't want them to have, they had. And God says they wouldn't hearken, they wouldn't listen. Verse 12. So here's what God did. Notice, young people. So I gave them up. I gave them up to their own heart's lust. Okay, you want to do what you're doing? You want to have what you have? You're not going to listen to me? Okay, have it your way. And they walked in their own counsels. And they walked in their own counsels. Now, here's what God wanted them to do, to hearken to his counsels. God wanted them to listen to what he had to say. But instead, they did their own thing. They were disobedient. They hearkened to their own counsel. What they decided was right. That's what they follow. So it's kind of like they went on Instagram and saw what all their friends were doing, and that's what they started doing, right? And they're watching TikTok videos to figure out how to live their lives instead of going to the Word of God. But Charlie, do they have TikTok? Listen, don't ask me dumb questions. Hey, look, in 11, Israel was none of me. I gave them up. They walked in their own counsels. Now watch 13. Watch 13. Stay with me. You're doing great. You're doing great, all right? I'm done in 16 minutes. Stay with me. Oh, think about God's word saying this. This is the heart of God. Do you sense in that a longing? Oh, that my people, notice, had hearkened unto me. What did he ask for in verse 8? Talk to me. He asked them to do what? To hearken. In verse 11, they decided not to hearken. 13, God says, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me. Man, I wish they had listened unto me. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me and Israel had walked in my ways. If they had listened and obeyed, what would God have done? 14, I should soon have subdued their enemies. Boy, I would have just put their enemies down and turned my hand against their adversaries. I would have given them victory. Instead, they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. How stupid that was. 15, notice the haters. You know, people today think they're so current, you know. Oh, there's haters. God already had that in his Bible. Haters, the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him. Hey, listen, everybody hated me, hated my people. They would have had to submit. But their time should have endured forever. Talking about the Jewish people, I would have blessed them. 16, here's where I want to go. Notice, he should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat. God speaking, with the finest of the wheat. Now, you say, well, I don't really know if I like wheat. Well, question, do you like bread? Hallelujah, bread is a good thing. Last Saturday night, oh, yes, I went to an Italian restaurant. Pasta fagioli soup, right? It was a big-time Italian restaurant. It was good. And they brought out some garlic bread. Can you feel that right there when I said that? Garlic bread. But tell you, your breath stink. I don't care. It was good. Garlic bread. And then they had this round loaf of bread. Oh, yes. It was a round loaf with the crust on it. And it was like when you had to cut through the crust was crispy. But inside, the bread inside was so soft. And they had like this mound of butter right there, restaurant butter, something about restaurant butter. I don't know. It's not like out of the freezer. And man, just take that out and slap that on. Oh, man. Pasta fagioli in one hand, garlic bread in the other hand, and pulling the other one out with my teeth. I look like the peanut butter and jelly game. Listen, I was diving in. You say, why? Finest to wheat. Oh, yeah, there's some good things going on with that. Notice what he said also. He said, I'll give you the finest of the wheat. And then he said this in 16. And with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Honey. I don't know if you know it, but it's the most natural food, pure food on earth. And it's God's perfect design for food. Now, I had some last night. You say, where did you have it? On my vanilla ice cream. Oh, yes. You're feeling this, aren't you? Wax ear. Yes. Listen, hey. I'm just glad you can hear it through that wax. Listen. Man, putting that honey on that vanilla ice cream. Now, you see Häagen-Dazs vanilla bean. Have you ever had that? Oh, that would change your life. That is just amazing. And put that honey on there. Now, you get older. I'm eating like the non-fat ice cream. It's not as good. I have higher cholesterol. I'm trying to behave. But the honey makes it good. And, man, I can just put that honey on there and just scoop that thing out with the vanilla ice cream. That is good. Good stuff. You say, God. You see, God would have given them the very best. Now, if you look back at verse 10, notice what he said. And he said this to the people, open thy mouth. Talk to me, church. Wide. All right, now, you're going to do this. Back row, you're going to do it too. Here we go. Y'all ready, right? I'm watching you back there. I'm just harassing you. That's all right. I'm not talking to the preacher, by the way. Open thy mouth. Everybody ready? Open thy mouth. Talk to me. Why? Nah, you didn't do it. I know you didn't. You didn't even open your mouth at all. Let's go, brown t-shirt. Who is he talking to? Right there. Here, come on, let's go. Here we go. Ready? Open thy mouth. Why? And God said, I might fill it. Talk to me. He said, I will. Yes. Did you all respond? I will. Good. Open thy mouth wide, and I will do what? Fill it. How many of you like to eat? And all God's children said.
Amen.
Oh, yes. This is one of the reasons why I switched to this message right before lunch. I knew what was on your mind. Hey, listen. Man, we've got the idea of God will fill it. Children of Israel, we're hungry. You know why? Because they were in the wilderness and they weren't supposed to be there. They weren't supposed to be there. They were supposed to go through the wilderness, not get stuck. But what was happening? They're getting stuck in the wilderness. That's not what God wanted. Now watch me. Here we are. That's what their problems were. And they ended up being lean years for them because they would not hearken. Eight, God said to what? Hearken. Talk to me. Eight, God said to hearken to the commandments, right? 11, they would not hearken. 13, God says, oh. Come on, help me. 13, God said, oh. You know what he wanted? His people to hearken. He wanted to have them open their mouths wide. He would fill it. It was going to be with the, what does 16 say? What type of wheat? Talk to me. Look at your book. What the 16, what type of wheat? The finest. Oh, yes. When God's preparing lunch, it's epic. All right? Finest. And he said, honey.
Yes.
So we got the sweet. It's good. And God said, open thy mouth wide. Now, stay with me. Here we go. Application. You ready? You're doing great. Hang on. Here we go. Ready? 10 minutes. You're doing great. Watch. Look at me. It's 2022. You know what God wants us to do? Hearken. Come on. Brother Shetler just got here. He knew the answer. Hey! You know what God wants us to do? Hearken to His what? Commandments, to His word. Nothing's changed. Now, I know we're not Jews coming out of Egypt, watch, but we are saved if we've trusted Christ. If you're saved, would you say amen?
Amen.
Now, if you're not, you need to get saved. And we'll give you opportunity at that. But if you're saved, Egypt is a type of the world. Everybody help me. Egypt is a type of the world. I figured some of you would know that. Hadn't taught that yet, but you got it. One more time. Egypt is a type of the world. It's a picture of the world. And God saved us. That means God brought us out of the world. Old song. I don't want to go back to the world. There's nothing in the world for me. Hey, young people, you know what the devil does? He always shows you the front yard of sin, and it looks so wonderful. But he never shows you the backyard. And in the backyard, it's horrible. It's horrible. All this Halloween mess, watch. You know what? Horror. That's real life with the devil. They're not playing. That is real life with the devil. It is horrible. It is violent. It is gross. It is disgusting. It'll mess you up. Now, watch. The devil's a liar, and he wants to deceive you. So he wants you to follow after other gods, but that's not what God wants you to do. God says, open thy mouth wide and I will, what? Fill it. I will. It's a promise. God will satisfy you. Hey, like he said in 16, with the finest of wheat, God will give you the finest. Young people, look at me. Please stay with me. I was going to jump up on these pews, but it's not our church, so I'm going to stay down. Hey, listen, and they look really good, so I'm not touching them. Hey, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. The devil's constantly trying to get your attention, distract you, and try to think you to believe that there's something better than what you already have. You know, that's the oldest trick in the book with Eve in the Garden of Eden. He said to her, oh, God knows there's some better things. There's more that you could know than what you have. She was a perfect lady with a perfect husband in a perfect environment with a perfect relationship with God, and he convinced her there's something more. You know what the devil's oldest lie is? There's something more. Young people, look at me. There's nothing better than God. There's nothing greater than God. But if I open up my mouth, what am I going to get? You're going to get God. You know what it said there? I think it was 11. Is it there where it said, they would none of me? Is that where it says it? Verse 11, they would none of me. You know what it was, young people? They weren't hungry for God. You know what we need a revival of? Some Christian teenagers that have a hunger for God. I want to ask you a question. How much do you want God? I mean, do you wake up thinking about God? I said, Brother Ty, I wake up thinking about food. I know, right? I've got a dog. My wife actually has a dog. His name is Rocky. He's 14 years old. He's a Yorkie. He weighs just under 5 pounds. He sleeps in our bed. I don't know why we've let that happen, but he does. And Rocky, as an old man, it's like old people wake up earlier. Rocky wakes up between 4:30 and 5:30 every morning. And my wife has MS. She doesn't do well in the morning. She's out cold. He knows he's not going to get her to wake up. So he would climb right on top of me. And Rocky, at this point, an old man, has like 2 teeth left. His jaw hangs down. He can't keep his tongue in his mouth because there's no teeth to keep it in there. And he wakes me up every morning and he wants to eat. So I got to take him outside. He does his thing. You all know about that. And then we come back in and we have chicken for Rocky. And chicken and sweet potato, because when you get old, your stomach gets bad as a dog, so they feed you sweet potato, so you keep things together. And here it is, chicken. It's shredded because it got, like, no teeth. So my wife puts it through the shredder, and I still then have to shred it by hand and feed it to I'm a good husband. Come on now. Y'all know that's the truth. And sometimes Rocky, he doesn't feel like having to do the work of getting it off the plate, and I literally have to put it in my hand when I'm half asleep to feed it to him because his teeth aren't feeling good, all two of them on that morning. But here's my point. Listen, here's what I know. Watch. Here's what I know is going to happen every morning. Rocky's going to wake up and want to eat. I want to ask you a question. When God looks down from heaven and sees you each morning, Brother Charlie, you compare me to a dog? Kind of. I want to ask you a question. When God looks down every morning, I want to see which young people here are hungry for God. Yeah, you know, God wants you. You know what he said there in 13? You saw it. Oh, that my people. Hey, watch, saved, New Testament church age, born again Christian. Are you hungry for God? Are you, young people, are you hungry for God? See, if you open up your mouth wide, God said, I'll fill it. God will fill it with blessings, and there's no bigger blessing than God himself in the sense of you having a personal relationship with God. It is awesome. It's amazing. Don't listen to the devil's lies. You don't need to go out there and chase the world. Stay with God, and he'll fill you. He'll fill you with blessings. He'll fill you with the blessing of his word. Job 23:12. You remember Job, a man in the Bible, a great man in the Bible. Job 23:12, he said this, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Now, I was just talking about vanilla bean Häagen-Dazs with honey. And I'm feeling that, and that's good stuff. But let me just say something. Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Remember that pasta fagioli I was talking, garlic bread, that other bread? Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So we need a revival of young people that would just get so hungry for God and not chase the devil's lies and all that fake stuff out there, but instead say, I want to be close to God. I want more of God. We had a hunger and thirst after righteousness. Matthew teaches us that. We had to be serious about our pursuit of God. Now, I could go down all different types of sub-point avenues. We're not. We're done the message. Look at me. In a general one-sentence thing, I would say what you need is more of God. And what I need is more of God. I know we have his person in the person of Christ through salvation, but I'm talking about day-to-day. Day-to-day, we need some young people that don't just, you ever do this with a kid? And you're trying to make them eat. My grandson, Michael's running around here. And he doesn't eat a whole lot. So we're kind of working him to try to get him. Last night, I was at his house playing on the floor with toys. And I started stirring up his whatever nasty drink it was. It's like, you know, they fake kids out. They put protein, sugar, and vegetables together so they get it down. And he's stirring that thing. And what am I trying to do? I'm trying to get him to open his mouth and take in some more food. You girls that have watched babies, you know how you do it with the fork, right? Then what do you do? Shove it in. Hey, as you get more mature, nobody should have to come to you and start to kind of just have to do this to get you to want it. Hey, you've been saved, right? You're not going to hell, right? How many could say like Asaph did in those first three verses, we got a lot to sing about. We got a lot to praise about. We got a lot to thank God about. Open your mouth wide with some praise. Open your mouth wide with some prayer. They called out and God heard them. We read that, right? So here's the thought. God will fill us up. Do you want God? Bow your head, would you? Take just a moment. We're going to have like a one-minute invitation, and we're done. So you can go eat your chicken and mac and cheese. But young people, I want to challenge you right now. Challenge you right now. Why don't you say, God, I'm hungry for you. I'm going to open up my mouth wide. I want you to fill me. Now, if you're already filled up with the world, you're not going to have much hunger for God. It was not the message, but I mentioned in verses 1 through 3 there, all Asaph did with the music. You know, if you're filled up with the world's music, you're not going to have a hunger for God. That's not really the message, but I know it's a burden in a lot of young people's lives to try to get victory over wrong music. So I can't believe that's coming in right now. Yeah, because some of you, you're going to end up choosing the world's music over a relationship with God. It's not wise. Come on, that's spiritual adultery. You're out there chasing some false god. If you're saved, why don't you pray right now? Say, Lord, I want to be hungry for you every day. I want more of you in my life. Father, thank you for these young people. They're a great group. Thank you for their leaders that determined to bring them here. And God, I pray that these young people would have a true hunger for you. Day and night, every day. Lord, I pray that you fill them with blessings. Fill them with your word. Lord, I pray their hearts and minds and mouths will be filled with praise and filled with prayer. And God, I pray you bless them. We pray in Christ's precious and holy and wonderful name. Amen.